Solvete discipuli and solvete omnes. I thought I would do kind of a fun one here, riffing off of basically etymology in the culinary arts, pertaining to cooking, gastronomy. In fact, that's the fancy word for really, well, the naming of food, essentially. We'll get into it, though. Gastro means a little bit more, but I don't want to give too much information right off in the intro, because this is where I get to plug, support, maybe, you guys, maybe, please. My Ko-Fi, you can find this in the description in the show notes, where you can also find all the words etymologized if you want to go ahead and do a little citral C, citral V into your own Word documents. You are more than welcome to do that. If you find any of the information that I go over in my podcast worthy of note, go ahead and just copy and paste it. Utilize it to your own discretion. Hey, it's free. I'm giving it to you as free. Consider leaving me a tip. I've mentioned in the past, you guys tip people. Maybe if, you know, you go to a coffee shop and they have to turn around the iPad and, it faces you, and you maybe just ordered a black coffee and somebody just basically took a cup, filled it up with black coffee, and then you give them 20% for that. Are they guilt you into giving you 20% for that? Consider this as me giving you something a little bit more than just black coffee, okay? Maybe I'm giving you a little bit, maybe a macchiato, maybe a cortada, maybe an Americano, but I pull the shot really well. Double shot, always. I can make it a quad shot if you really need to get going. I can make it a single shot. We could do half calf if you want to. If you guys didn't know, I used to be a barista. I used to do all that kind of stuff. I used to be really good at the latte art too. I was known for that. That being said, though, consider leaving me a tip, because this all is coming from my brain. I'm doing it for free. And you guys know that your boy has been recently let go for reasons unknown. But you know what? They'll rue the day. And that's going to be down the pike, because what comes around goes around. But that being said, consider that. And then we'll get into some etymologizing of some culinary arts, because I was just thinking about it. I do love watching The Cooking Show. Like, whenever I'm watching live TV, because my dad actually just let me kind of dive into his Xfinity stream. I have Xfinity stream, but I don't have the TV package. He has the TV package, but they don't really utilize the live stuff as much. And he was like, hey, you know what, if you want to watch football and golf like I do and stuff like that, we can talk about it. That'd be great. And I was like, heck yeah, man. Typically, though, whenever I'm watching live TV, it's either HGTV, because I love home improvement, DIY Network, because I love doing DIY stuff, and home improvement, it kind of correlates with DIY, and or The Cooking Channel. One of my favorite shows of all time still has got to be Chopped. If you guys know, you know. Back in the day, Chopped is so great. Anyways, I'm going to leave it there. Let's get into it and learn a little bit more about the etymology within culinary. And then again, before I leave, consider the tippage, or just supporting me anyway. You can go to my TikTok also, look at my showcase, all the items that I am supporting. I fully vet, and I get a little bit of commission for it. And I would be very appreciative if you considered that. The Frizzwater Life faucet is super cool. The hair caviar is making my hair have a beautiful and healthy microbiome, because that's what it really is all promoting. Because we're learning more and more and more about the fact that there are microbiotas all over our body and within our body. So it's just the day and age that we've come to, where the literature has become more and more doubling down on this microbiota stuff, because we all talked about how the gut was the second brain, and now we have a microbiome in our mouth, the oral microbiome. We have things, that's why they're saying don't do mouthwash anymore, because that just destroys the microbiota within your mouth, and then you can inoculate it with the Streptococcus mutans bacteria, which is what creates cavities. Also, people that have dry mouths typically get cavities a lot. So remember, if you're a mouth breather, I would suggest trying to stop that in any way, shape, or form. oddly enough, TikTok, there was somebody that reached out to me trying to promote, or they wanted to send me a free sample of mouth taping, but I don't really deal with mouth breathing, so I'm not going to do that. But that being said, we'll leave it there. Consider any way that you can support me, because I really, really, really would appreciate it. And I'm going to shut up now. I'm sorry. I realize if this is ever obnoxious for you guys, just skip ahead. You can just skip ahead, because I'm just about done here. Tempest to the next portion of the podcast. All right, I'm sorry, I'm done. Okie dokie. So, my discipuli, my omnes, let's get on into it here, talking first with cuisine, coming from the French word cuisinier, meaning to cook, ultimately from the Latin coquere, which means to cook or to prepare food. It's spelled C-O-Q-U-E-R-E, means to cook. Its definition, cuisine, refers to the style or method of cooking, especially characteristic of a particular region or culture. So you have Thai cuisine, you have Italian cuisine, you have different types of cuisine coming from different cultures or particular regions throughout the world. However, culinary comes from culina or culinarius, rather. Culinarius really in the Latin word, meaning of the kitchen, coming from culina, meaning kitchen. So culinarius is really that adjectival pertaining to in the genitive form, showing possession of the kitchen or relating to cooking, from culina, meaning kitchen. Very, very similar to the Spanish word culina, right? Culinary describes anything related to cooking, food preparation, or the kitchen. How about cookery? Cookery actually comes from the Old English cockery, C-O-C-E-R-Y, coming from cock, which means to cook, and cock is spelled C-O-C. Ultimately, from the Latin word coquere, which means to cook, again, coming all the way from Latin down the pike, from coquere to cock to cockery to cookery. There you go. Definition, cookery refers to the art or practice of cooking and preparing food. Gastronomy, gastro plus nomi. Nomi, nomen, means name. Sometimes it can refer to order or law or rule. But in this case, nomi refers to that naming of, essentially, that classification. And then gastro, coming from gastron, meaning stomach. So basically, the classifications, the laws, or the rules of the stomach. That's really what gastronomy refers to, coming from the Greek and Latin, because nomi means name. Because nomen, if I were to say in Latin, mihi nomen est Liam, that would mean my name is Liam, essentially, idiomatically. If I wanted to say my name is Liam, actually, literally, it would be meus nomen est Liam. But mihi nomen est Liam, same thing. Mihi means to or for me. So it's basically the naming for me, essentially, is Liam. And that's what it would mean. Enough with the Latin lesson there. Let's get into chef. Chef. All right, chef. Comes from the Latin word chef, meaning chief or head, actually. Ultimately coming from the Latin word caput, which means head. It's where you get capital. It's where you get decapitate, because capitate, cap, head, eight, action of, d, down from the head. Decapitate, off with the head. Because d can also mean away from. It's where you get defenestrate when you throw something out the window. Definition, a chef is a professional cook who is in charge of a kitchen or a particular section of the kitchen, typically skilled in culinary arts. I always found it funny when I was watching the show The Bear, and how they refer to themselves. And it's kind of, cooking culture is so toxic. It reminds me of teaching, man. It's just like that toxic nature. Anyways, culinarian. Culinarian comes from culinary. What did we say culinary comes from? It is referring to kitchen. And that I-A-N, it's that suffix, that suffixification, remember? Indicating related to, so, or pertaining to. So pertaining to the kitchen, culinarian. And definition, according to Almighty Google, is someone who is skilled in cooking or involved in culinary arts. How about a pastry? Pastry. Get all fat and sassy and bread and pastries, if you've ever seen that. I mean, I'm just going to get all fat and sassy. Etymologically, pastry comes from the old French word paste, spelled P-A-S-T-E, meaning dough. Ultimately, from the Latin word pasta, meaning paste or dough. If you didn't know, now you know. Pastry refers to, according to Almighty Google, a dough of flour, water, and shortening used as a base and covering in baked dishes such as pies, tarts, and pastries. How about the word bake? It's actually derived from the old English word backen, which means to bake. And I'm thinking that it's possibly from the Proto-Germanic word baknan, B-A-K-N-A-N, which means to bake. But I don't know for sure. That one's kind of a one-off for me. If anybody has a little bit more information in regards to that, hit me up. Casserole, however, comes from the Latin word casserole, which means saucepan or stew pan, coming from casse, spelled C-A-S-S-E, meaning pan. And its diminutive suffix, O-L-E, means, well, whenever you make something diminutive, it makes it into that smaller form, like a little saucepan. Definition, according to Almighty Google, a casserole is a dish made by cooking ingredients, typically including meat, veggies, and a starchy binder, slowly in an oven. How about when you saute something? When you saute, it is derived from the French word sauter, meaning to jump or to leap. Possibly from the Latin word, which I was thinking, saltare, which means to leap or to dance. I feel like, I'm not sure, but that was my sussing of it all. Saltare, S-A-L-T-A-R-E, meaning to leap or to dance. According to Almighty Google, to saute means to cook food quickly in a small amount of oil or fat over high heat while stirring or tossing. That's the definition I found on Google, straight up. Kind of a funny definition for saute. Gourmet. When something is gourmet, according to Almighty Google, a gourmet, well, if it's a person, is someone who is knowledgeable and discriminating in the matters of food and drink, particularly with regard to taste and quality. But something that is gourmet essentially imbues those qualities of a particular quality and taste, something that's delicious, maybe decadent, if you will. Etymologically, gourmet comes from the French word gourmet, meaning a connoisseur of food or drink. And in this case, fine food or drink, more so. Possibly from the old French word gourmet or gourmet, spelled G-R-O-M-E-T, meaning servant or boy. So, I don't know, but that's interesting. We'll leave it there. Last one, mince. Mince, what is it when you mince something? Well, according to Almighty Google, and if you already know, like minced garlic, if you go buy it at the store, means to chop or to cut food, especially meat, or, you know, minced garlic into very small pieces. It's derived from the old French word mincier. Oddly enough, as you can see, a lot of these words that come from culinary are really, really derived from French. That's why I feel like we consider French food to be so gourmet. I don't know. Anyways, I don't know why I'm sussing right now. Let's just talk about the word mincière, meaning to make small. Mince coming from the old French word, like I said, mincière. M-I-N-C-I-E-R, to cut into small pieces. And I think it's probably coming from the Latin word minutia, spelt like minutia, but it's pronounced minutia, M-I-N-U-T-I-A, meaning smallness or trifle, like minutia, something that is small in nature. It's minutiae. It's small details, the minutiae. Definition, according to Almighty Google, to mince means to chop or to cut food, especially meat, into very small pieces, like I said. I hope you learned something new. I hope you enjoyed this little fun little episode. And if you did, I would really appreciate you guys considering supporting me, giving me a tip at Ko-Fi, maybe going ahead and supporting my Patreon. I'm going to try if I can get more people to actually contribute to my Patreon, because I don't have people really doing it, so I don't feel like I don't want to invest in something if it's just going to fall flat and be dumb. But I was thinking about doing a Patreon thing where, for those that are a part of my Patreon, I'm going to do more of my personal writings, my poetry, my slam poetry, and just academic writings, if you want to hear about those things. Because, you know, writing academic writings about the classics actually can be a lot of fun. Like, for instance, Plautus is an ancient playwright, and it's funny, a lot of these words, these names that were derived back in late antiquity actually just had such funny words, and the way in which they were able to like curtail their names, to reinvent their names. Plautus's full name literally means Dick Bozo Tap Dancer, okay? So if you didn't know, now you know. Plautus is a great playwright. He wrote things like the Brothers Menaechmi, and others that basically are just like, they're just comedies. They're just farces, essentially. Like, the Brothers Menaechmi is almost like a rendition of Parent Trap, for instance, where it's like two siblings get split apart. One is in Rome, one's in Greece. They end up finding each other later on in life. And then they get put into scenarios where people are assuming that they're one or the other when they're, or they're assuming the identities of each other since they're identical in looks, just like with Lindsay Lohan in Parent Trap. So if you didn't know, now you know. Hope you learned something new. Tempus est discedere.